Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Tom Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, hello and welcome to this week's Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido, along with Scoot.
WV!
And Johnson.
V. Number two team lost.
Yes. Ohio State had a really bad weekend, just in general.
Yeah.
Like, I thought today, I was like, man, I am glad I am not a fan of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
It's a bad two nights.
It's a bad two nights for those folks. Biggest news for us, though, WVU takes it in Cleveland. The Cleveland Classic. Was that a classic? Didn't they call that the Cleveland Classic?
I don't know. You have a tendency to want to call everything
a classic. It's probably like the Cleveland Challenge.
probably the Cleveland Challenge.
I'm pretty sure if you look it up, it was the Cleveland Classic that West Virginia beat Ohio State today, 67-59. A good win, a solid win against the number two team, Ohio State.
Yeah, an excellent win. Yeah, are you kidding? I mean, talk about things to put on a resume, Guido. This is about as good as they come. Considering that Ohio State, too, I saw a tweet by John Antonick earlier that in their wins over top 25 teams, their average scoring margin was, I think, almost 19 points. So they had not only been winning good games, they had been winning big in those good games. So to me, today is a statement win for this team.
Absolutely a statement win. And I mean, I think, you know, what made it even a better win, at least in my eyes, is that we pretty much did it without Oscar. Like, Oscar played 8 minutes.
Yeah, and
8 minutes.
And Culver really for a lot of the game. And if I had told you that stat line alone, Guido, would you have ever thought we would have won, even been in the game, much less won the game?
Yeah, 8 minutes. Culver played 24 minutes. So Culver ended up sneaking in and out a lot more. Schwebe played 8 minutes. I would not have thought. Schwebe played 8 minutes. He had 0 points and he had 3 rebounds.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
So considering that we have been relying on the big men down, you know, down in the paint and everything, and today it was a lot of Logan Rout. There was a lot of Logan Rout going on today, guys. And there was a lot of Gabe Osaboyan, who looked great on the defensive side. And then for some reason, because Oscar was out, he felt like he had to play offense, and that didn't go as well.
Well, you know, we talked about that. So the folks I was watching it with, it seemed like late in the game, Osaboyan got in these situations where he'd get the ball at the high post, and then unfortunately for him, everyone would then just decide to stand. And so I think he was just like, well, okay, I got to do something here. And, you know, he looked a little bit uncomfortable, but man, his hustle and his defense and his rebounding, they were huge today with like you said, with Oscar and Culver kind of getting neutralized. What a ref show it was today.
I'm gonna say something, and I think maybe you'll agree.
Okay.
Gabe Osaboyan is a more athletic Cam Thurman.
Ooh.
Nothing against Cam. Cam was awesome for his role, but I think he can do way more than what we ask Cam to do. I think he doesn't, because he's, you know, always looking to pass the ball. But I think you can just tell that Gabe is super athletic. I think if he gets more comfortable, he can probably be a scorer.
I don't believe he can be a scorer.
I don't think he can be a scorer, though. I think there's a disconnect between ball and hoop for him. I mean, I think it's much more like what he did there in the last like 30 seconds of the game, where he did that, that steal, knocked the ball down. Like, he's all arms, man, and that's what makes him so good on the defensive side of things, is it's nothing but arms when he's coming at you.
Yeah, they said he has a ridiculously long wingspan. He does all the things that Cam Thurman kind of did, although I guess Cam Thurman in high school was like some ridiculous scorer. And then once Beeline left and Huggins took over, he kind of lost some of that scoring part of his game and just kind of was a like a junkyard dog, right? He's going to be the guy that gets you a couple rebounds. He's going to take a charge. He's going to defend the best athlete on the other team. Although I don't know that Cam did that very often.
No, yeah, I see what you're saying. I can agree with the vast majority of that, Scoot. So, yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I just think you can tell every once in a while I feel like Gabe shows these flashes where he's got some big athleticism.
Yeah, but I think the problem is, and I think his career is going to look like this, you know, from here on out, which is what Gabe Osaboyan does on the court for WVU doesn't show up in a stat line.
Yeah.
Like,
He's a glue guy.
Yeah. He's tough. And I mean, the defense, the hustle, you're right. That's not going to show up in a box score.
No, it doesn't. I mean, he's not really there to out rebound Oscar or Culver or even route. He's not really there to shoot the ball. He disrupts. He's big. He breaks things up. So, but we should really talk about or spend some time talking about the new leader of this West Virginia University basketball team, at least in my opinion, after today.
Okay.
That would be one true freshman, Deuce McBride.
Yeah. He had another, Guido would like to call it Cancun classic, but he had another Cancun challenge type, moment today. I feel like down the stretch, he almost single-handedly went into like a heat check. I think he had an 8-point run all by himself, 7 or 8-point run there late.
First of all, I just want to clarify, this was called the Cleveland Classic today, that West Virginia and Ohio State.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, the Cleveland Classic. Oh,
okay. Well, the Cleveland Classic. We stand corrected, I guess.
I mean, so,
I've never heard of it before, but I guess it's a classic now.
It was a classic, but I don't know that I would say that we've known this to be a classic before. Is it a classic because there was a game after it? There was a game after it, which was an odd game to have after it.
It sounds better than the Cleveland
Challenge. Is that what makes something a classic? Is it like at Taco Bell, if I add sour cream, it's suddenly supreme?
I think you've got
it. Is it one of those things?
Exactly right.
Right. Well, and I think that when you think about Cleveland Challenge, it's like jumping into the Cuyahoga River without getting some sort of disease. That's a Cleveland Challenge.
Yeah, that's a Cleveland challenge.
This was more of a Cleveland Classic. Anyways, Miles McBride, Deuce McBride, just was spot on today. And I think for me, the biggest thing is not only was he leading the team on the court, you know, he looked good out there shooting. He made some ridiculous shots. That shot with, you know, a minute and a half left where he didn't even know what he
gives did. He gives a little MJ shoulder shrug after that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome. But on top of that, post game Johnson, he sounded like a leader in his post game interviews.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to pick at him at all. I mean he sounds like someone the guys can look to after the game too. He says the right things.
He's got
way above a freshman right now.
Yes, he's
got a bit of a Javon Carter like game, and maybe more of a Deshaun like personality. Deshaun was kind of a guy that was comfortable talking. And I don't know that Javon was ever real comfortable talking. I mean, maybe he was as a senior. But I feel like Deshaun was kind of the face of the organization, so to speak, once he got to campus.
I mean, I just think that he is – I just think that he has taken on that role from a point guard standpoint on the court – to the way he handles the media and talks to the, you know, the things he says after the game. So today after the game, he said, you know, we felt like this was a tournament. We're playing like a tournament team. We're thinking this is a tournament. You know what I mean? It just sounded like a guy who's like, you know, a leader to everybody else.
Well, and it's funny how he seems to have a calming. He seems to be that guy that has a bit of a calming effect on a jittery young team. Like not only when you need a basket, but when you need a ball handler, you know, the person that you want the ball in their hands and making sure the play is getting run. He seems like he's evolving into that guy, which is exciting to watch.
So 50% beyond the arc, 6 for 12 today with 21 points, career high. I mean, granted, his career's only
big shots, like really big shots.
Really big shots when we needed them.
Definitely. Did you guys hear what Derek Culver said after the game?
I didn't, Scoot.
He said that they wanted to prove to themselves and prove to everybody else that they were for real and that they were a tournament team and that this was no fluke. He said a lot of people come across and act like, you know, there's a lot of hype around us and it's not real hype. He said we wanted to prove to everybody that this is no hype.
Nice.
This is the real deal.
Nice.
So it was good.
And Guido, I tend to think that Culver is another guy that when they put the microphone in his face, I'm always impressed by Derek too, because he's comfortable speaking to the media. He's comfortable giving. I think the longer he goes, he seems like he's more comfortable with that.
He grade wise, I think he's a really good student. Like you look at the guy on the court and you're thinking, I don't know, he's kind of helter skelter a lot of times. It feels like he's not a completely polished player in the post. You see him kind of do some stuff to you, like kind of head scratching because he's so talented and athletic and gifted. And then you think, why did he do that? But like you guys said, to hear him talk, I guess in the classroom, like he's like super refined when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I really think that between what we saw against Ohio State, what we're hearing in the post game interviews, where this, the direction this, even Huggins in his post game with Tony Caridi, it sounds like, unlike last year where we thought our hair was on fire at this point, it sounds like things are starting to gel, you know?
I think for me, I had been rolling under the, you know, so we're coming into this game. We had been talking here on the show each week about how Oscar sort of seemingly kind of without trying hits double double stats and things. I had been running under the assumption that all of that had to continue. You know, Culver had to almost do double doubles and everything for us to be successful, especially against, you know, Guido, you and I talked last game. We were getting ready to hit this meat of our schedule. And then today, right, we have this weird reffed game. Ohio State's like five flopping salmon on the court, you know, drawing all these weird fouls. And really for most of the game, like you kind of correct me. I feel like Culver wasn't out there as long, but if you've got him at 24 minutes, it just seems like for big portions of the game,
it didn't feel like,
yeah,
it didn't feel like it.
And here we are beating a super talented Ohio State team that most people think are, you know, one of the top three teams in the country. I just wouldn't have expected that to ever happen.
Yeah, they were ranked two, so it's a great win, and we're in this, like, we're coming into this like next couple of games where it's like just insanity. So we go from, you know, this Sunday playing against Ohio State in Cleveland, then we travel to Kansas and play a number five, currently it'll change, but currently a number five ranked Kansas team next weekend, and then we're at Oklahoma State, and then we finally get back to Morgantown on the 11th of January, where we host Texas Tech. So that's a tough stretch, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. And I think did you see, so just credit to Alan Taylor. He's a follow on Twitter too. And I saw that he had put a quote up from Hug saying, you know, they're Ohio State's good, but did it mean anything? You know, did it really mean anything? I don't know. We got to go play Kansas and then Texas Tech, the defending national runner-ups. So he's kind of like,
yeah, right,
you know, this is great, but we're not going to pat ourselves on the back too much because we're moving on to, you know, possibly even more difficult games straight ahead.
I know by the time this comes out, we'll have a new ranking. But
yeah,
what's your feeling? Yeah. What's your? We'll talk about it here, and people can say we were right or wrong. You'll get to tell us now. We're ranked 22nd after this, you know, going into this game. Where do we come out in the rankings after this? Do we jump to 12? Do we jump to 13?
I think
we jump that much?
I think we're somewhere between 10 and 15.
Yeah.
I think to me, this is one of those games where, you know, people are sitting at home today with nothing to do, so there's a lot of eyeballs on this game. I think you might even... You know, you come in like, man, people are not respecting. We feel like we should be even more respected. You win a game like this and you might actually have the opposite problem where people are now like jumping on the bandwagon and actually, you know, giving right. you a whole lot of fire now because of a win like this, which is great. I tend to agree with Scoot. I won't be surprised if we're in the like 10 to 14, 10 to 15 range.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I don't want is I'd rather be in that range. I feel like that still gives us a little underappreciation to where we might actually be. And I don't want us to come out like 8 and then everybody gets a big head and that becomes a problem going forward. So it'll be interesting because it's still a young team. You got to remember, it's a I mean, we're talking about Miles McBride being the leader,
yeah,
and he's a true freshman.
Yeah,
we
quickly forget how young this team is.
What if I told you that by January 11th,
okay,
we could be sitting real close. I take that back. January 14th, we could be at the same, if we win everything from here until then, we could be at the same win total as we had all of last season. We are, four wins away.
Yeah, that's
from
crazy.
Our season total of last year.
When you say that, that doesn't seem possible. That's crazy.
I will also say that if we win every game between now and January 14th, come January 14th, we might be ranked number one in the nation, maybe number two.
Whoa, look at this guy.
No, listen,
he's
you're
throwing
talking about
the gauntlet down.
Well,
you're talking about beating Kansas and then a Texas Tech team.
Oh, yeah, like, no, national runner-up. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
I think.
I don't know.
I think if we win.
Well, I'll say this. We're top five. We're top five at that point if we win between.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people have a choice if you're continuing to win those games. Yeah.
Well, it fires me up that, and you guys know this, when you start so deep in the rankings, it's taken us this long to finally get into the rankings when you've got some of those teams that probably were there that don't really deserve to be there from the get-go. Right. You know, you got teams that are in the top, 15 with 2-3 losses. We still have one loss, and it was 2 points on a questionable foul call where the guy fell down. I mean, that's not even
that's
a call.
St. John's game, right.
Yeah, and we're probably going to overtime and potentially winning that game.
Yeah.
It's just
Yeah, you're right. And, I mean, and you look at Michigan, who has three losses, and they're, what, 11th?
Right.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, this, the whole way that they do it is sort of ridiculous and whatever. But it'll be big going to Kansas and playing them. Kansas trounced Stanford today. I forget what the score was. It was like 70-something to 50-something. It was almost a 20-point win for Kansas. So, I mean, it's we're expecting Kansas. And with Ohio State losing and Kansas winning, I figure Kansas moves up in the to top four. So we're potentially within a week playing two teams ranked in the top four.
Yeah, can I talk about something about today's game real quick?
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What's going on?
Bob Huggins.
Tell us, man.
Bob Huggins in the arena, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably if I didn't know anybody, he's probably the most recognizable person in the arena for either side's fans, right? You may not know who Gabe Osaboyan is. You may not know who one of these Wesson brothers is, but you probably recognize Bob Huggins.
One of the winningest coaches in college basketball. Yeah.
Does he have to wear the lanyard? Like, why?
Mean,
why is he wearing the lanyard? Why is he wearing the lanyard?
You
like,
mean,
I couldn't
his
pick
identification is, card in there. Is that what
I couldn't
about?
Pick Chris Holtmann out of a lineup. To me, he looks like some sort of like cameo actor from like NCIS. Like he's kind of like a poor man's Mark Harmon. Like
security
who
is tight at the Cleveland Classic.
Like, why is Huggins have to wear this lanyard? Like, what is it? Does it get him into something that he can't already get into? Like, is this like, hey, they've got a spread upstairs in the media room. If you want to, you have to have the pass, though, in order to get in. So he's like, well, I might lose it, so I'll just wear it for the game. Like, he's like the school teacher or the principal who wears the lanyard with the keys to the school around his neck.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, do you need to do that with your ID? Like, you probably don't need to do that, right? Like, we know who you are.
Ohio State's head coach, especially when he would go hands on hips, he looked like he was like the general manager of like the Columbus Walmart, and he was making sure that there was nobody stealing.
Like,
what are you doing?
I mean,
son?
He might be a very good coach, and the announcers talked him up as if he were a very good coach because he talked about what making sure you catch the ball with your eyes and your feet or some crap. Saying,
and come on,
eyes
Stu,
and feet,
Don,
eyes
you,
and feet.
You mean Donnie Marshall?
Listen, Donnie Marshall was a good basketball player for UConn.
Who spent a good portion of the game talking about his 300-yard drives off the golf drives. Like, come on, man. This
He was a good basketball player. The problem Donnie had back in college was that there was another guy on the same team named Danielle Marshall. So they had a lot of I'm Donnie, he's Danielle kind of stuff.
You know Danielle, what, though, Scoot? Give me, give me Pete Gillen any day over these clowns that were our commentators today.
That's true.
Absolutely. That's true.
He would have talked. I mean, he would have been happy with Chase Hyla's game today.
Chase Hyla. At least we get to hear him say
Chase Hyla.
We need to get Chase Hyla on the court.
Chase Harler has got a huge fan in my mother-in-law.
Yeah, your mother-in-law likes
Chase Harler. Was all over getting Chase Harler, making sure Chase Harler was getting enough touches in the game. Because he's out in the game. She's like, they got to get Chase Harler in the game. I said, he's in the game. Where else do you want him to go? Like, he's on the floor. Where else can we put him?
He's playing right now.
He's there. Where else do we need to put him?
Do we give any time here to discuss the flopping, though, in today's game? We don't have to go into it too much, but were you not frustrated by the amount of flopping?
I feel like this is a thing that is getting worse in basketball, be it professional or college. It's getting worse every year. The flopping, is this like a coach thing? Like, are coaches training these kids how to flop? I mean, I think, who was it? It might have been Rex Chapman. Somebody posted on Twitter Scoot, I think you said it, basketball, NBA in the 80s and NBA today, and like how like everything in the 80s was like, everybody was like throwing punches.
Well, think about like Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer. Would they have flopped? Like,
no!
And the people getting hit by them wouldn't have flopped either.
Well, and would would you agree with
Kirk
me too?
Kirk Rambis would have punched somebody before he flopped. Like, there would have been a death before he flopped.
I'm also kind of generalizing, but I'm also talking about the flailing that immediately draws a whistle. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, if you're in trouble, just flail around and they'll bail you out.
Well, surely you must have been hit really hard if you're flailing so much.
Right. I just feel like the refs should regulate that more and be more tuned into that. I mean, come on.
I would like to propose something. Okay.
Okay.
Yesterday morning, I coached my third and fourth grade girls basketball team to a loss. However, after that,
wait. What was the score?
What was the score?
You can't tell us the score. I tough loss.
It was like 20-10. I think we had
20-10.
Anyway, it was an offensive blowout for us because we usually don't score 10.
I was gonna say 20 points is a lot. Yeah. 20 points is
my defense was a little ragged yesterday. We were a little off.
You were playing like the Duke of the Kentucky
of the third and fourth grade girls. Yes.
Yes.
Now, I did happen to referee.
Did you wear a suit?
I did not. That's my problem. I need to start dressing like a coach.
Was the game referred to as a challenge or the classic?
It was a classic. So
the Parkersburg classic.
After that game, though, the way our league runs is it's all volunteer. So I, with two other guys, refereed three games. Okay. And they were fifth and sixth grade girls.
All right.
And let me tell you, it was physical. It was very physical. Very physical. I had to use the whistle some to kind of control the physicality.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
But it wasn't like there was no anticipation of fouls. Like, if you got fouled, we called it. Like, it was a legit foul. And
like,
there was
if
no
Stacey's
flopping.
Stacey's flailing on the low block. Do you immediately whistle or do you?
No. That could be a play on. You flail. Unless somebody's made you flail, you play on.
All right.
So I am proposing and making this offer to Big Ten officials, Big 12 officials, Ted Valentine, if you're listening, Ed Hightower, John Higgins. I will gladly step in for you and be an official on one of your game nights, and I will show you how to correctly officiate a game, and I will correctly show you the cylinder. Because I'm like going to bring that pop-up cylinder that I'm using.
Pop-up cylinder.
Huggins. Pop-up cylinder. I will bring that, and we will use that as a display.
Coach Huggins' Christmas gift that you gave him?
Yes.
Scoot, you're great. You're great. I'd love to see you as a Big 12 referee. It would be phenomenal.
And Scoot, last but not least, I wanted to get this in front of you too, because I feel like you'll appreciate it. You and our friends over at Voice of WV. So once again, I think Jordan McCabe comes in at the end of the game to close out the win with a lot of big foul shots. In a game where, goodness gracious, we were not shooting free throws well. He has, in a few wins now, quite a few wins so far this season, he gets inserted at the end to lock it down with some big foul shots. Okay. I thought he did that again today.
Let me ask you this question, gentlemen. All right. In the National Basketball Association, the NBA.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Do you shoot foul shots?
Yes.
Okay. Could that be his role for an NBA team? He's just the guy you bring in when you know it's crunch time. Somebody's going to get fouled. Let's get McCabe to the line.
Whatever you can do to get that kid in the NBA, you are going to do it.
I think
you
it could be one sure of his roles. Yes.
Okay.
You and Brad Smith. You guys are going to get that guy in the NBA. Come hell or high.
So can I get you, Johnson, on record saying that there is a place in the NBA for Jordan McCabe?
There is a place in the NBA for Jordan McCabe.
Thank you very much. Hey, bookmark that. What time? Where are we at on our recording?
I'll make sure.
let's play it as a tease or an intro.
That's a low blow, though. I never said there wasn't a place for him.
I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
You keep McCabe on your roller coaster of fan. You know, fan emotion each week to week. I try to stay kind of even keel with him. That's all. And that's something I've noticed. He's awesome right now. Of everyone, he is a dependent foul shooter.
I can tell you guys right now what's going to happen, Johnson. I can tell you right now what's going to happen, and it's going to be so painful for you and me. But like halfway through January or at the beginning of February, he's going to get hot, and he's going to have a game. He's going to have like two or three games in a row where he gets like 20 points, and then we're going to have to listen to Scoot nonstop. Be like, I told you
Yeah,
I know. It'll be like the I told you so episode.
Most of the time, I watch basketball with my family members. I get a lot of like the big news on Jordan McCabe really here lately is that there's a lot of people in my family that are in disbelief that he has a tattoo and that he's had it for a while.
Too perfect of a person.
Has he always had tattoos? When did he get these tattoos?
That's what they're
shouldn't be allowed
on.
To have a tattoo.
Like that's the.
Well,
big
listen,
talk.
Guys, let's take a quick break right here, and we'll come back, and then and instead of talking about our friend, the voice of West Virginia, I think we're talking about our friend, the voice of the Mountaineers. So we're gonna take a break. Come right back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Vortech Knives is a West Virginia owned and operated company specializing in high quality steel, fast opening, everyday carrying knives. If you go to VortechKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortech, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia owned and operated company specializing in fast opening, high quality, everyday carry knives. Vortech Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Guido along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check us out on Twitter at Got Your Ears. It's kind of where we put our daily musings, our random thoughts. We retweet a lot of stuff from the university. We retweet a lot of stuff from the crazy people out there that talk about WVU sports, kind of everything. Speaking of Twitter, guys, so I posted a poll. We occasionally like to put out one of our ears polls, as we like to call it, to see what people are thinking about. I posted a poll last week, right before Christmas, about Tony Caridi, the voice of the Mountaineers, calling a Marshall game, UCF versus Marshall, in the Gasparilla Bowl. And I understand Tony it's he I guess it has something to do with this voice of bull, whatever, this something to do with IMG. He's an employer, works with IMG. IMG runs this radio division that does these bowl games for Sirius XM and other places, right? It's kind of like where you used to hear, like, this is Westwood One's broadcast. IMG's kind of doing the same thing, right? So I posted this poll about how did, I said, what do you think of Tony Caridi, the voice of the Mountaineers, calling the Marshall versus UCF game for the Gasparilla Bowl, Hail WV? I think the mistake I made, guys, in this was I tagged our good friend, the Herd Hater, in it, and all of a sudden it went kind of crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, talk about striking a nerve. I mean, you kind of said it. You kind of just were like, hey, what do you think about this?
And, you know, he has a tendency, man. He doesn't like Marshall, and Herd Hater doesn't like Tony Caridi. So then it just kind of blew up. And then there was like this whole back and forth. Now, at the end of the day, 62% of the people said it's cool, no big deal that Tony did it. 38% of it were like, why, Tony? Why? You know, how did it make you feel, Scooty, about Tony Caridi calling a Marshall game?
Well, it's a little weird. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's a little weird when you've got a guy that is synonymous with one university, not only calling a game for another university, but calling a game for, I don't know that I would call Marshall a rival school, but calling a game for a school that's in the same state and the two fan bases generally don't see eye to eye. Because, I mean, yes, I don't know, like, I mean, do I hate Marshall? I don't know if I hate Marshall. I feel bad for them. Like, is that hate? That's just more like sympathy, I guess. I feel like, oh, poor little Marshall. They're not very good at things. So it's a little weird that Caridi would do that. But I think probably contractually, he probably had something in his contract that said if this ever comes up or if there's something there. I mean,
I don't think that was the case. I don't think that was anything to do with contractually having to call the game. I think it had to do with IMG probably said, hey, we have this gig. You know, do you and Brad Howell and your little crew want to take it on? Here's the money wall.
Well, and I don't even think it was probably a question. It was probably my initial thought, Scoot, was that it was probably just IMG reached out and said, hey, we want you to do this show. It's not like, you know, it's kind of like my former employer had a headquarters in Cincinnati. I'd rather go anywhere in the world except Ohio, but I couldn't say, hey, I don't like that. I had to go because my employer was asking me to. That was my reaction. I'm sure IMG asked him to do the broadcast, and he did it. What I thought, I would think it would be more awkward for Marshall sports fans than for, you know, you're asking the question, hey, WVU fans, do you think that's weird? My initial reaction was like, I have to think Marshall fans were like, really? Like, out of everyone you could have asked to do this game, you asked Tony Caridi to do it? Because I would think Keith Morehouse and some of those guys are like, you know, we'd be more than happy to do it, but here's right. Tony doing it. And I can't find it, Guido, right now. I was just trying to do a quick search, but do you recall, it was probably early 2000s, I guess, Tony went on a rant. I'm sure it's recorded somewhere about, you know, Marshall just leaving WVU alone and really just went off on a kind of a infamous rant. So it's kind of interesting that he would be, you know, come full circle calling a Marshall game to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I listened to some of it. So I tuned in my Sirius XM satellite radio and listened to some of it. And it was just weird, like, for lack of a better term, it was just strange. And I mean, you know, I think the problem I have with it is that, you know, you've built your career as the public, you know, figurehead, media figurehead for this university. It's just weird just to jump over and do this one off for Marshall. It's a strange decision.
It's got to have been probably one of the more difficult assignments for Tony Caridi in his career, in the sense that, like, one, you don't have that familiarity that you have with the current school. You know, he knows WVU right. sports. He knows people. He knows, you know, players. Here, he's kind of this outsider that has to kind of paint a picture for you as if he's still an insider, and he's not. And
the other part of it that's kind of weird is that, you know, when you call a national broadcast like that, when you're calling, you know, UCF and Marshall, you're calling it, you know, at the same sort of emotion level for both teams. So unlike with a West Virginia game, he's going to be more emotional about a West Virginia touchdown versus, you know, a Oklahoma touchdown.
But like he's going to be more expected to be balanced in something like that situation.
And he was. And here's the thing. Like, at the end of the day, Tony's a professional. He's very good at what he does.
Sure.
And he did a great job. I mean, it sounded great. I mean, he was actually pretty sympathetic because Marshall got spanked in the Gasparilla Bowl.
But I think, like you're saying, for those in the know, it's just an odd happenstance to hear that. Do you think it was weirder? Do you think it was weirder for Tony to be calling a Marshall game or to say the word Gasparilla probably 100 times in a broadcast?
Probably say the word Gasparilla. Gasparilla.
What are How many those? Times do you think in his mind that he had to like catch himself before saying Mountaineers or WVU? Like that would be tough because like it just probably comes out of his mouth. Like you say stuff enough, you know.
And I didn't listen to the whole thing. I only listened to a portion of it. So I don't know if he may have done that. It would have been hilarious. But it was him and he had Brad Howe, who that's two of the him, Brad Howe and Hoppy Kercheval. So it was the three guys before the game calling the Marshall game, which was interesting in and of itself. So just all around, I thought it was an interesting choice. And it was just, I think what made it, I think if it was anything other than Marshall, like if it was UCF playing, you know, Louisiana Tech, everybody would have been like, oh, okay, Tony took a side gig for some extra cash, you know? I think the fact that it was Marshall was like what made it weird.
It would be like, I don't know. Somebody wants you to kind of host their podcast on, I don't know, Ohio State, since we talked about in this episode. Ohio State's.
Give me a call. I'm really cheap. I'm more than willing.
But for that, for one episode. Just for one episode because.
Just one episode.
Like, how many times are you going to catch yourself saying, got your ears on, or try to catch yourself from saying, got your ears on? Or how many times are you going to, you know, try to sound like you are familiar with Ohio State guys and really don't have that same, you know, connection.
Oh, I would sound like an idiot trying to talk about Marshall guys. Like, so
right.
It's the same way. Speaking of which, Marshall played in the Cleveland Classic today, didn't they?
Yeah. Can I say a couple things about that? Okay.
Okay. You got something to say?
Well,
they did not play in the Cleveland Classic.
They lost it. They won.
They beat Duquesne.
Yes.
Duquesne?
Now, can we talk about the reason why Marshall will never be considered a major college basketball program?
Oh, okay.
There's a couple reasons, but the number one reason is the ridiculous font on their uniforms. This number and cursive Marshall business. It looks like a Comic Sans. It looks really stupid. I feel like we're watching a comic book than we are putting on a basketball uniform or a game. What are they doing? Why does it look so cheap? Like, can we not afford?
I don't know.
It looks. Is it high? Is it like it's? It looks like a high school.
Yeah, uniform. I've seen a lot of high school uniforms that are way better than Marshall's uniforms.
Okay.
That is not a draw. If I'm a high school recruit, which I'm not,
the thing I'll say about them, I can't believe we're going to have a conversation about uniforms. It's like all of a sudden we've become a fashion show.
Come on, man. This is Scoot's wheelhouse.
It is Scoot's wheelhouse. Yes. He's going to start talking about their haircuts next. I think the way I think the way that Marshall is written isn't bad. It's the numbers. The numbers make it look weird. The numbers like in their weird.
It's
like,
so stupid.
Squirrely.
It looks like a comic book. It looks like Comic Sans.
So let me get this straight. You think that the font on the jersey, not the coach who wears a graphic T-shirt under a suit jacket.
That's a bad look.
What's going to hold them
That's back. A bad look. I'm going to come out and say this. D'Antoni is a poor man's. I've said that a couple times this show, but I'm going to say it again. He is a poor man's Kurt Russell. He looks like Kurt Russell minus the curls in the back. Kurt's got a little bit of a curl to the back of his hair.
Yeah, to his flow.
That's what D'Antoni looks like. He looks like Kurt Russell.
Is this a look you would try to pull off, Scoot? Would you do the T-shirt under the blazer?
Would you get a T-shirt?
No, listen. I would think about going
T-shirt.
No,
blazer.
I would not go graphic. And it's a 3. He was wearing a 304 Marshalls. Like, it was so busy.
He's always wearing. It's always a Marshall T-shirt of some sort, isn't it?
I wonder, Johnson, you happen to work at a university. I'm wondering, is this like a free T-shirt giveaway that he's gotten somewhere along the line? And
yeah, you know, it feels that way. It kind of has that feel to it.
And he puts on a blazer over top. Now, do you feel like it's a short sleeve or a long sleeve?
Oh, I feel like it's definitely a short sleeve.
Yeah, it's a short sleeve.
I feel a short sleeve T-shirt. I feel it's a long sleeve.
I feel like it's definitely a short sleeve.
That makes it worse.
No. I think it's a short sleeve.
That makes it way worse. Sleeve. Like, what is he doing? Like, I would take Huggins pullover any day of the week over a graphic T-shirt under a blazer. Like, what is the message you're saying? Like, I'm wearing a T-shirt, but I'll dress it up with this blazer. Like, no. Like, it's stupid.
I find it to be interesting. That's all. But you think it's fonts. You think fonts are holding their team back is what you think.
It's big. I mean, who's the best basketball player to come out of Marshall? Hassan Whiteside? Maybe Tamir Slay? Didn't he play there?
No, the building's named after Hal Greer. So.
Okay. I mean...
Oh, I mean, he was an NBA professional. Exactly. You're talking about more recent guys.
You're trying to compare him to what? Jerry West. Jerry West is...
Well, it's one of those things. Yeah, I mean, it's long in their history, but technically I think he's who most people would refer to as their best player.
I mean, I don't know.
Since then, I don't know. Hassan Whiteside was pretty awesome, but...
I'm just saying. Buildings after. It's never going to be a reputable program until they change the font and they get a coach that knows how to dress that doesn't look like Kurt Russell. Okay. I mean, what is this? It's like a bad sequel to Overboard or something. Come on.
That's it. That's the new slogan for Overboard Marshall's 2020
season. He's going to give these players Overboard amnesia. 3. They're going to get amnesia to believe that he's a good basketball coach and they're a good basketball team, much like he gave Goldie Hawn amnesia and played off that these ragtag kids were his kids. They're not his kids or her kids.
Oh my God.
I should say those ragtags were her kids. They weren't. She believed him.
Oh. It was all a trick.
Yeah.
It's all a trick. Well, listen, there is our annual Marshall segment on Got Your Ears On, you know, because you need one of those, I guess.
Let's
take a break, guys. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about more whatever's happening in the state of West Virginia. So stay here. Thanks for listening. This is Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives. And when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for TOB Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Don't forget, folks, check out our website, gotyourears.com. Johnson, it's sort of like the hub for everything, right? People can find everything out about us?
Yeah, check it out, guys. Go to gotyourearson.com. We try to put everything that we talk about in the episode, we try to link there in the show notes. So if you hear something interesting, you want to check on it further, you can click on the links there. And then we've also got the links to TuneIn, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can just click and subscribe right from the website. So, yeah, it's all right there.
And don't forget, tell your friends to download the show. You can get it pretty much on any podcast app that's out there now. You name it, we're on it. Google Play, Overcast, TuneIn, Spotify, Player FM. We're on them all. iTunes.
Yeah, just search the Goog and take whatever service you need.
Search the Goog. Guys, I typed in the other day, best WVU podcasts.
Yeah.
We're like in the top five.
I'll take it.
Our name comes up. I like it. High.
That's in good company.
Yeah. I'm in good company. We got the RVK guys are up there. Yeah. There's some three guys there up there.
That's in good company. I like that.
Feeling pretty good about it. All right. Scoot, what's happening in the state of West Virginia?
All right. I'm going to say one word to you. See if you know anything about it. You ready?
Okay.
If I were to say, fellas, West Virginia is, that's, I guess it's more than one word right now. West Virginia is, West Virginia is not the one word.
You're college educated, aren't you?
West Virginia is getting on board with the Hyperloop. What do you think about that? Oh, are you excited about Hyperloop?
So high speed railway is what you're talking about.
Yeah, Elon Musk high speed underground tunnel.
Or are we talking Scoot vacuum? Are we talking vacuum tubes or what are we? Remind me what the Hyperloop is.
Yes, you can go up to speeds of
vacuum. Is this like where you go to the when you go to the bank and you have the little put your thing in the and it sucks it up to the
pneumatic
tunnel.
Tube,
this is going to be like yes, this is going to be like humans in a bank tube.
Yes.
So it'll be like, I need to get from Morgantown to Charleston, and
you will get
like
in a bank teller-shaped PRT car, and then a pneumatic tube will shoot you there.
How fast do you think you go in that magnetic tube?
Are you getting there like what is that, like a 15-minute ride now? Is that how that works?
No, it would be even faster than that, I think, right?
Any guesses?
I feel like that's not possible.
Well, I mean, in theory, it's frictionless, you know, like vacuum travel. So it's kind of like
you go like a billion miles an hour. I don't understand. How does that work?
Six hundred miles an hour.
How does your face not rip off? Like, there's no wind shear.
600 miles an hour.
Yeah. So from roughly from Morgantown, you could get to Myrtle Beach in an hour.
Right.
That's crazy.
Because that's where you're going to want to go.
Well, that's where they're going. I mean, if you're going to put a Hyperloop tube somewhere,
it better go to Myrtle Beach. That's all I'm saying.
It's going to go from Morgantown through the state down to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
And that might be it. And then there'll be a slight leg. There'll be a little veer off to Charlotte, North Carolina, because that's apparently where everybody else goes. They either go to Myrtle Beach or they somehow dump into Charlotte, North Carolina, because that's where most of the people that Guido and I and Johnson probably went to school with, they've all landed there somehow.
I've left.
Right. Somehow, yes.
I think there are more West Virginia bars in Myrtle Beach than there are in Morgantown sometimes. So I can see that. Here's the question I have for you, Scooty.
Yes.
Where are you at getting on the Hyperloop? Would you ride the Hyperloop?
In a heartbeat. Would you get in? Yes, I want in.
Yeah.
I want in on the Hyperloop. I'm just doing a quick, there's a couple of articles. West Virginia Metro News had a couple of articles a month or two ago about how West Virginia is getting on board. This is they're saying this is going to be possible because of the magic of a proprietary magnetic levitation system.
Okay. And I'll tell you right now, the people in Morgantown, anybody who's ever lived, been in, around the university in Morgantown are right now saying, hey, listen, we've been dealing with magnetic levitation for the last whatever years with the PRT. That thing sucks. It doesn't work right. How many classes, Johnson, did you miss trying to get from downtown to Evansdale because of that thing?
Yeah, and did I always see
there was the picture that was on Twitter like for like a week or two ago during finals week. There are people out literally pushing the PRT because it was stuck.
I always remember there was one PRT car that had a snowplow on the front, and that used to crack me up because it was like here to save the day and clear the tracks.
Yeah, right.
Yes, they're calling the PRT the original Hyperloop.
Okay.
Would you agree with that, Johnson? You've rode it many times.
How long is the ride? How long is the ride from Evansdale to downtown?
I would say it's heavier on the loop and not so much on the hyper. But I guess we can agree with that, maybe. But
so just quick math, because I'm smart and stuff. So if you got one of these Hyperloops from
Morgan, one of these here Hyperloops.
One of these here Hyperloops from Morgantown to Charleston, it would be like a 12-minute ride.
Yeah.
From Morgantown to Charleston.
600 miles maybe an hour. Not even. That's what is that? 150 mile? I mean, what is that?
It's about, you're talking just rounding things down. You're talking like roughly 10 miles a minute. Right? Or 10 miles, right? That's 10 miles a minute.
This is too much math. What are we doing? What are we doing?
So
too much math.
Talking about 90 miles.
It's going to be real fast. It's going to be a real fast trip. That's all I'm saying.
9 minutes, 10 minutes.
Look at that. Look at that loop. It's hyper. That trip's going to be real fast. A fast loop.
Boy, I got in that hyper loop, and it took me there.
I'm just saying
minutes.
That's a fast loop.
What I'm concerned about is, what's it going to cost to get on this hyper loop? Like, is it going to be expensive, you think?
Like, people are going to pay $1,000 to go from Morgantown to Charleston. Is that what's going to happen?
No, I don't know. I mean, what? I don't know.
I don't know. I can't imagine it'll be cheap.
It'll look really weird. Can you imagine driving around and all of a sudden you see this weird tube thing? It's going to be like West Virginia's become a gigantic bank.
Is it above ground? Is it?
What do you think?
Is it plastic? Like, can you see through it like you can at the bank? I can remember as a kid at the bank, you would watch. You would watch it to come back because you wanted to see if like the candy was in it. Like if
the lollipop,
the lollipop was in it when it came back.
Yeah,
like,
but remember,
she forgot the lollipop.
I mean,
I
guess
it back over so I get a lollipop. Like, come on.
I was always worried that
it's like if you're driving down I-79 and there's like this tube and then like Scoot goes shooting by you like he's going to the bank, thump, like foom.
Like, I think, is it not like I don't know. I feel like it's going to be like some sort of gigantic like water slide tube like tunnel thing that's going to go across the hills of West Virginia.
I feel like something like that's going 600 miles an hour shooting through plexiglass is just that sounds like this all sounds bad to me.
What about G-forces?
That's what I mean.
Like there's gonna have to be some sort of pressurized cabin, right?
Yeah,
right, imagine
new.
How much
this,
it's gonna mess
of
your
this
hair
is
up
new.
Scoot.
The only new part is West Virginia trying to get in on the act. Okay, like none of this is new, right?
Are there gonna be seats or do you lay down?
Of course, there's gonna be seats.
Do you lay down?
Well,
no,
I feel like it's like
Scoot's
one of those rides
baby
at a
Bjorn's
carnival
again.
You know, like those rides where you stand up and the centrifugal force keeps you up against
like
the edge of it.
Yeah, it's not like a scrambler. It's more, I mean, come on.
It's like you're in a train car or like in an airplane.
Yes.
Right? That's what I imagine.
Yes.
I feel like, Johnson, how do you know all this stuff?
Well, I mean...
I feel like you and Richard Branson you're in the inner loop.
In tech or something, doesn't he? He knows about computers and stuff.
I just think it's funny that we're trying to talk about it like we can talk about it. Like if there was a topic we can't talk about, it was this topic that Scoot just brought up on the show.
This is very important to the people of West Virginia. They need to
know when they start seeing construction of this gigantic gerbil tube. They're going to want to know
they're
gonna
what's
going on.
We already heard about this from the Got Your Ears On guys.
Like, well, I heard about that gerbil tube they were putting up. I heard it was going to run right through Braxton County.
That's too funny. Oh, that's too good.
Oh, my God. Well, look, I'm going to need, if it's going to go from Charleston to Morgantown, it's going to have a honorary stop in Flatwoods because that's what I'm accustomed to.
To the outlets, so, the great outlets they have there.
The great outlets, which are like none. There's like
it's
no
like
outlets
a,
left there anymore.
Like a shoe show or something.
But see, Johnson, that's the thing. You know, because it happens so fast, you won't need the stop. That's what I'm saying.
Look, I'm just saying, like 8.5
get,
minutes
yeah.
in, I'm going to need a stop in Flatwoods.
Listen,
just
if you're going 600 miles an hour, and let's say I've got to use the restroom. Can I stand
That's
up?
That's what I'm talking about.
Can I stand up and go to a restroom?
No. A guy will come on the intercom and be like, look, pee bladder. We're going to be there in 15 minutes. Just hold on
just
to your
hold
stuff.
It.
Yeah.
Can't like, you hold it?
I mean, if we've got technology that can get us in someplace in 600 miles an hour, do they have some sort of technology that can help us with the restroom?
I mean, Elon Musk just slapped his forehead, okay? I mean, he can't do everything, Scoot. Like, you're going to have to take care of that before you get on the gerbil tube through Braxton County.
Like, is it going to affect our eating habits? Can we eat a snack? Will there be a snack offered at 600 miles an hour?
They don't even offer you a snack on an hour-long flight.
Well,
they're not going to offer you a snack.
That's how they could revolutionize this travel.
Scoots out. He scoots out. He's not going. I'm
not
riding
that thing. They might throw some peanuts at you, I guess. Okay. I don't know.
I can stop at Sheetz and get something. They can't give me something on the gerbil tube.
Well, listen, West Virginia is
a Go-Mart.
West Virginia is all on board with the Hyperloop. Justice wants it. Jimmy J wants it. Manchin wants it. I think the people at WVU want it. I don't know about the people in Braxton County. We're going to find out when they put it through there.
I mean, it is. When you think about it, it is an interesting thought because think about like WVU alone. They could probably quadruple their student body by just accepting people who live in Charleston, and they can just take the 10-minute ride on the Hyperloop to go to classes.
I feel that maybe somehow the Big 12 is behind this because they're tired of hearing Huggins complain about the travel.
Oh, that's
all right, Huggins. We're going to put a Hyperloop in there.
That's right.
We'll shoot you to Kansas.
I do think it's ironic, though, that the people who designed Beechhurst want to design the Hyperloop. I mean, that the people that gave you Beechhurst Avenue want to be in on the Hyperloop.
Well, listen, is there a rotary in the Hyperloop? Is there like a, you hit a rotary halfway through? One of those roundabouts? Is that what's going to happen?
Is that what you call a roundabout?
We call them rotaries, yes. I'm sorry.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, up here in New England, they're called rotaries.
Yeah. Traffic circle?
Yes.
Traffic circle's another thing.
Well, guys, I hope they can at least hyperloop us to Allen Fieldhouse as we head there this week to play Kansas, who is probably, like I said earlier, going to easily be ranked top four, maybe even one or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little nervous about it, but we'll be okay, right, Johnson? I mean, we're a good team.
Yeah, now we're convinced, right? I mean, I think if we ever had a confidence builder, wow, did it ever happen today? So, I'm excited. I think you're always playing. I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. If you were mad at the refs today, just wait till we get to Fog Allen Fieldhouse. I always feel like, you know, you're always never getting
it's always.
Right. At best, you're getting an even whistle, and I feel like rarely do we get an even whistle there. So, you know, it's definitely going to be another huge challenge just playing there at their place. But, yeah, I'm excited. I like us rolling in there off of this big confidence builder.
Yeah, we start conference play on Saturday against Kansas in the Allen Fieldhouse on the road. So going to be a big game, folks. So get yourself ready. It'll be awesome. And finally, some games that really mean things.
In Guido, an ESPN Plus game.
Oh, yes. We didn't even talk about that. You got to pay to watch this game. Even though I have been, not that I'm promoting this, I have been seeing there's a lot of people that are talking about streaming it on the Facebook. There's a lot of if you go on the Facebook and on the Twitter, you'll find plenty of places where people are just going to put a phone in front of their television.
Protest the system.
You can watch it to protest the system instead of paying the $60 a year to be an ESPN Plus member. There's, I think, a total of four or five games during the conference schedule that are all on ESPN Plus. So be prepared, folks. Be prepared. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week talking about that Kansas game and much, much more. So keep tuning in. We appreciate everything. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Don't forget, check us out online at GotYourEarsOn.com and on Twitter at GotYourEarsOn. Johnson, have a good one. Keep it tight.
Yes,
keep
sir.
Keep it real. Keep it real.
Keep it real. All right.
Keep it real. That's what it's about. So, all right, folks, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. This has been Got Your Ears On.